Good morning. My name is Kathy Myers, and I'm here to speak to you today about women's oppression and the Me Too, Time's Up movements. Some people may know me as the woman who recently had major neurosurgery, while others may remember me from a sermon that I participated in years ago, where I talked about less visible and invisible disabilities. It's interesting how labels expose the patriarchal society in which we live. I'll come back to that later in my sermon. Instead, I would rather speak to you today as someone who has been personally impacted and very involved in the women's movement. In fact, I lived and breathed the women's movement 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, shortly after I graduated from William & Mary back in the early 1980s. So what do I say to a group of Unitarians committed to our very first principle of treating every human being with dignity and respect? Many of us, both men and women, have demonstrated over the years in Take Back the Night and other marches for women's rights, for equality, and social justice. I am speaking to you today because we should all be treated with dignity and respect, and that we need to listen and hear and understand the pain and the hurts and the rage of the women behind the Me Too and Time's Up movements. We live in a society that is divisive. We are divided by class, race, ethnicity, sex, gender identification, ageism, and able-bodiedism, etc., with different groups being given different privileges. Men are also hurt through men's oppression, and this is something that Reverend Wayne and Christian spoke about a couple weeks ago in February in their Toxic Masculinity sermon. Make no mistake, I recognize that we all are wounded animals, and that just as women have been hurt by sexism, men have also been hurt by men's oppression, often starting at an early age. Sorry, I'm having to scroll through my notes. I'd like to just give an example of that referring to that sermon on toxic masculinity. As many people will remember, that young boys in our, you know, are told to be a big boy, to stop crying, etc. Well, they hear that over and over again to the point that they internalize that. And then they, when they become fathers, will say the same thing to their sons. Instead of saying, I'm really sorry that your beloved pet has died, for example, and that, of course, it's completely human to mourn their death. So back to a response to the Me Too and Time's Up movements. Do I have a Me Too story? I have several. After all, I went to college and grew up during the 70s and 80s. So I've experienced everything from being wolf whistled to having unsolicited and totally inappropriate comments on my body. In fact, in my early 30s, I cut my hair, which was even longer than it is today, into a short spiky haircut after receiving cat whistles from the men on a construction site where I lived in Geneva, Switzerland at the time. So the more general question is, have I been affected by sexism? Of course, I was brought up in the society as an innocent little girl. As I often explain about racism, that all white people have had their faces smeared in racism, so too have we all had our faces smeared in sexism, including me, who was brought up initially in progressive Montgomery County by a single mother who didn't remarry until I was in my teens. Until then, it had just been me, my sister, my mother, no men. I know that everywhere I have been living, that I have been, from the longtime multicultural country of Mauritius to different parts of the US of A, the prevalence of racism and sexism exists in our society. After initially being told on landing in Mauritius that there was no racism or sexism there, I quickly noticed how all the billboards featured African heritage women as cleaners, young Asian women promoting cell phones and other types of IT technology, and South Asian women being featured as small business owners, with white women being portrayed in their lingerie to sell lingerie products, giving the message that a white European woman's body was preferable. So much for being an ideal society where there's supposedly no racism or sexism. What a joke. I can't forget that only 20 years before my trip to Mauritius, there were billboards in Britain advertising new cars with women sprawled across their hoods. And yes, I have to confess that I was one of the women that spray painted feminist slogans on those billboards in protest to women's bodies being used as objects of desire. I also have a South African heritage friend who still to this day has difficulty appreciating her beautiful African body because of the subliminal messages she's been given over time that white European women's bodies are preferable. So yes, truth and reconciliation have played an important role in healing the hurts of apartheid, but eliminating racism and all the ways, the powerful ways that women that people have been hurt by racism and internalized racism in all its forms has to also be addressed. So back to my story as a young girl being brought up in the early 60s. I was taught everything from how to dress, almost always dresses, to what I was allowed to play with, always dolls, to how to sit, with my legs closed, of course. The consequences, well, they are multifold. Recently, when I was relearning to have balance, when I squatted, a friend of mine explained to me that I would have more balance if I squatted with my legs open than with my legs closed, as I had been taught. I also am trying to unlearn the habit of crossing my legs, which I was taught to take up even more less space, as a way of not taking up a lot of space and not being seen and heard. More recently, when I was in London last November, and I'll go to this chair to demonstrate, and I'll say, have a seat. There was a young man that was sitting in a seat that I desperately needed because of my balance and stamina issues. He was seated like this, taking up more than one seat. I asked him if someone was sitting in the empty seat, and he said no. Most of the time, when I asked this question, they would get the message and give me the seat next to them. This time, the person just continued to sit like he was. I said, excuse me, is that, can I sit there? And he continued to sit there and gave me a nasty stare. So I decided to get up and to say even louder, excuse me, but is that seat empty? I need you to move your leg if it is. And he then moved his leg so that I had the seat available because of everyone else hearing very loudly what I just said. I can tell you when he moved his leg, he wasn't happy. And I can also tell you that the woman on the side, on his other side, looked at me pleadingly as if, you know, asking, you know, pleadingly for me to intervene because she still had his left leg sprawled across her. In terms of how women are dressed, I am pleased to see some movement in that my sister allowed my youngest niece some 20 years ago to alternate her clothes so that she wore dresses on one day and she would wear pants on another. Thank you. Needless to say, my niece would have preferred wearing pants all the time, which isn't a surprise when you're just wanting to play. They're much more comfortable and much more practical when you're wanting to play. Yes, women have come a long way. Just look at the powerful young women around us in our lives. What I need to keep remembering is that there has been progress. Women do have the right to vote, and we are no longer considered the property of men. In the census, and the last I checked, we do have the U.S. Supreme Court ruling of Roe versus Wade. After years of being active in the feminist movement, there has been progress. For example, in Britain, there are more women involved in the manual trades than there was when I first lived there in the 1980s. However, there is still female oppression, sexism, and violence against women happening every day at every minute of the day. Whether that is manifested in the female sex trades, infanticide, female mutilation, violence against transgender people, or the myriad of ways still existing, even here in Unitarian churches, that men in leadership exert their power, whether that is by dismissing women, silencing our voices, or treating us as second class. Just as we are seeing after the Parkland shootings, a whole new generation of courage and determination to tackle the gun issue, with young, angry students, mainly female, at the forefront, who are passionate, articulate, and who are not censoring their emotions, so too the Time's Up movement is being led and fueled by young women speaking their truth about the abuse of power they've had to face. And these new movements continue to develop new leaders that are empowered to move us all towards dignity and equality. So what is different this time around? These movements are embracing accountability. Whether that is by naming names or shouting BS in the streets and the corridors of power. And two, they are connecting the issues of the oppressive society we live in. The oppression based on skin color, gender, etc., and they are addressing the intersectionality of these issues, like what Paula Cole Jones talked about in her sermon last month. This new wave including the Me Too and Time's Up movements, is so inspiring and powerful, not just because of the courage and determination of the women leading and speaking out about their stories, but the demand for accountability and connecting the oppressions. I think this is summed up by Janelle Monáe's Time's Up speech, introducing the singer-songwriter Kesha at the Grammy Awards, where she stated that as women, we come in peace, but we mean business. And to those who dare try and silence us, we offer you two words, time's up. We say time's up for pay inequality, time's up for discrimination, time's up for harassment of any kind, and time's up for the abuse of power. People that have been benefiting from sexism, racism, et cetera, need to be prepared to listen to and understand the pain and anger of the victims, to be accountable for their actions, and most importantly, give up the power they have held. The next song, which can be quite difficult for people to listen to, demands everyone's attention. It was performed by Kesha at the Grammy Awards this year. It chronicles the sexual and mental abuse she suffered from her ex-producer and her journey healing herself, forgiving him, and hoping that he's able to find his peace. Crying on by Chris.
And Clarissa. Oh, we're gonna start that again.
Well, you almost had me fooled. Told me that I was nothing without you. Oh, and after everything you've done, I can thank you for how strong I have become. 'Cause you brought the flames and you put me through hell. I had to learn how to fight for myself. And we both know all the truth I can tell. I'll just say this is I wish you farewell. I hope you're somewhere praying, praying. I hope your soul is changing, changing. I hope you find your peace, crawling on your knees, praying.
I'm proud of who I am. No more monsters, I can breathe again. And you said that I was done. Well, you were wrong, and now the best is yet to come. 'Cause I can make it on my own. Oh, I don't need you. I found a strength I've never known. I've been thrown out, I've been burned. Oh, when I'm finished, they won't even know your name. You brought the flames and you put me through hell. I had to learn how to fight for myself. And we both know all the truth I could tell. I'll just say this is I wish you farewell. I hope you're somewhere praying, praying. I hope your soul is changing, changing. I hope you find your peace, falling on your knees, praying. So midnight. Oh, someday, maybe you'll see the light. Oh, some say, in life you're gonna get what you give. But some things only God can forgive. Ooh, praying, praying. I hope your soul is changing, changing. I hope you find your peace falling on your knees. Praying.
Thank you, Chris and Clarissa, for performing that. So, like my peers in the Me Too and Time's Up movement, and perhaps you can tell by the sermon, I am angry, but also very sad that after years of dedication to the women's movement, that we are still living in a world that is oppressive to women, where one of my best friends, who is a professional musician, who worked for a long time as the Sunday music director at her Catholic church, would be fired after her Me Too speech. And where another friend struggles to divorce her husband, who she recently learned had been having an affair for the last couple years with someone from her Catholic church. And of course, he blames her for the marital breakdown, but get this, he also blames her for him having the affair in the first place. It saddens me that we still live in a world where here in the US, women are still seen as objects and often paid less than equal for equal work by a man who is equally qualified. Where here in Virginia, actually in Lowndes County, and in the district I live, there is a state legislator who thinks that there is no such thing as rape in marriage, and who also believes that a woman wearing a nightie is asking for it. I hope that people will join me in saying, time's up. I look forward to the day when there is no longer violence against women, and where a male friend of mine who has two young daughters doesn't have to run for state senate here in Virginia, because as he said, if there's no one else, he would definitely run, as he couldn't allow the current state legislator to represent his family, especially his two young daughters. So back to my introduction as speaker, hopefully you will remember me not as the woman who's had yet another major neurosurgery, but as the brave woman I am, who has made major contributions to this church and the world, even while facing major health challenges, including my last neurosurgery. Our next steps, there are many. But first and foremost, I believe that we need to begin to dialogue to better understand and acknowledge how we have been hurt and to bring accountability into the equation. Then we, both men and women, can work together to eliminate those hurts and ensure that like the word stagecoaches, the hurts of sexism are confined to the dictionary. It is in that context that I invite everyone to join me in the sanctuary after a quick break for coffee in the foyer to talk and to learn to dialogue with each other about these hurts and think of our next steps. Wishing to continue this discussion, there will be a general post-service discussion, but there is also a separate women's group for anyone who identifies as a woman on April 22nd, following the service, in the mezzanine level. And there will be a group for anyone who identifies as a man, led by Bill Moroman, happening at church on April 28th at 9 a.m., either in the minister's office or upstairs in the mezzanine.